Hello and welcome to another episode of Cloud Security Podcast. This is a new month, and for people who are celebrating Labor Day in the US, I hope you're having an awesome long weekend. So thank you for tuning in your long weekend, if you are tuning in from your long weekend. Today's episode is the first episode in the series for Cloud Security Careers and Cybersecurity Careers Month. If you are someone who gets asked a question quite often, hey, what did you prepare for the first cybersecurity job that you got? What are some of the skills they were expecting from you? What are some of the questions they asked you in the interview? What got you your first role? Or if you are someone who's looking for that first role, my hope is with the series of interviews we do this month, we would be able to answer a lot of those questions and maybe some questions for your family or friends who are trying to get their first cybersecurity job at the moment. The first episode of this month is with Zenith Kamal. She is an associate cloud security engineer at Best Buy. The most interesting part about her story into cybersecurity is that she comes from a legal background with no computer experience in terms of programming or having that mathematics background as well, which she gets into. She also talks about her imposter syndrome coming from a field of no technical requirement to suddenly being thrown into a programming language as a first class. She also spoke about how her degree and certification helped, what she would do differently if she were to start again. And both Zenith and my hope is that after listening to her journey and the skill set that she speaks about from an associate cloud security engineer perspective, you will feel inspired to apply for that next job and maybe acquire some of those certifications that she talks about in the course of the interview to get your first associate cloud security engineer role. I also wanted to say thank you to everyone who's been leaving us a review or rating on iTunes. A special shout out going out to Reese Evans, Jess Cooper, and Randeep Work, who was our latest reviewer on iTunes this week. If you are someone who has recently left us a review and I haven't called out your name over here, feel free to message me on LinkedIn or Twitter, because sometimes the names don't appear and I would not know about it until come much later. So I would love to give you a shout out because it helps us get good guests, especially the ones who may be looking at the ratings or the reviews of a podcast. So thank you so much for supporting us. Another quick shout out to Exonius, who is our season sponsor, who continues to support us throughout the episodes that we release each year. All right, let's go into an Exonius ad and then into the episode. I hope you have an awesome long weekend for those celebrating Labor Day. And for everyone else, I hope you have an awesome weekend as well. But I will talk to you next week. And until then, enjoy this episode. Peace. Time is the enemy of security, and that's where Exonius comes in. Exonius helps organizations immediately know what assets they have and shows which devices, cloud instances, and users adhere to or deviate from security policies. Learn more and try it for free at exonius.com. Have you heard of a nonprofit conference on cloud security called Forward CloudSec, where experts come in and talk about all the major cloud platforms from both an attack and defense research perspective, limitations of their security features, pros and cons of different security strategies, and a lot more about cloud security? In a world where there is no vendor? Yes, I'm talking about ForwardCloudSec.org. Cloud Security Podcast is supporting ForwardCloudSec because we have been part of this amazing circle of people who are contributing in helping people learn cloud security. And there is no way I was leaving the opportunity to not support them this year. And some of the highlights from the talks that they've had last time, they had a builder session, attack and defense section, and a multi-cloud and governance section. I think one of my favorite ones was, of course, from an Australian, Ian. He did a talk on creating the AWS account controller. And there was Kat Trexler, who has been a guest of ours in the past, around GCP primitive roles. We had a lot of conversations from really interesting people last year, and I am looking forward to this event as well. Although I can't be there in person, but for those who can attend the event in Utah, I would definitely recommend at least trying to make yourself available if you are obviously vaccinated and you're okay to kind of travel and visit a conference. Again, the website is fwdcloudsec.org to check them out. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you came.
Thank you for having me. It's no secret. Saturday afternoons, in my, our time, I always tune in. So Thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. And I think you have an interesting story as well. So I would love to dig into it. Maybe a good place to start. I feel like I've known you. I've known about your book as well, that you're an author. I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience as well, a bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for having me again. I appreciate that, Ashish, and I love your show. So my name is Anat Kamal, and I am a mom of four and a wife. I moved to the U.S. about 8 years ago from Ethiopia, eastern part of Africa, and I had a legal career, but we can talk about that later in some of the subsequent questions. But I had a legal career, and then when I moved here, I decided to switch a career in technology because I've always been fascinated by that. So fast forward about 3-4 years ago, I found cybersecurity, started my career in internal audit at a local government, and then up until last week, also at the state government as an information security engineer. So now heading to a cloud security spaces, Best Buy, I'm really excited about that. So I'm also a grad student at Georgia Tech Institute of Technology within the School of Cybersecurity and Privacy. I'm also self-published author of a number one bestseller book, which I ranked number one on diversity and inclusion title. Probably I can show it later, but it's been released less than 2 months, and it's a book about family strength, empowerment, and identity, all sorts of things that we should be teaching our kids about self-love, friendship, forgiveness, being able to stand up for yourself. So yeah, that's just a little intro about me.
That's pretty awesome. And I think I love the fact that you wrote a book as well, because I don't know of that many cybersecurity people writing non-cybersecurity books, which is, and this is, by the way, a great topic as well, because to your point about identity, and a lot, it's subtle, it's always around us. Like we walk around with our identities without even knowing it. And to be able to comfortably talk about it, I love the idea, which is why I've been, every opportunity that I get to talk about your book, I've been talking about it. So I would definitely love to get into that when we get into the show later on. But you mentioned you had a legal career back in Ethiopia, and you moved on to the cybersecurity, and you're a student as well, right, at the moment. My first question is, like, why cybersecurity? Like, could have been, like, you could have been doctor. You could have been, like, an astronaut, I guess, but why?
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess that, like, the reason why I picked initially when I moved here, like I said, back in 2013 for me, I always wanted to get into technology, but I never had any information about cybersecurity. I don't think it was offered like as a program, or maybe at least not that I know. So it was more like I'll get into technology, do computer programming, probably coding, that type of stuff, which I have no background, by the way. So it was just like the love of technology, the power of buildings to solve people's problems. That was the only interest that I had. So I joined a local community college, did my associate's degree, and then transferred to a four-year university to do a computer science degree. Still didn't offer any cybersecurity courses, by the way. They don't have it. They have it even in those programs. It was going to be only one class or something. So that's how I found out about security. Is the end of the graduating year, there was a cyber defense competition that was going on in our university. I went to a state university here in Minnesota. I just went there and tried to find out what it is. I still appreciate the professor who was advocating for that, teaching that class. His name is Professor Kalim. So he promoted it, saying that you can come in and participate in that cyber defense competition representing the university. So join that session to self-train yourself. There's going to be a coach and everything, but that's outside time commitment, outside of your classes and everything. So it was on a Saturday. So I joined that. And then that's when I made the team to represent the university from Minnesota University. So that was like in 2018. So not long time ago. So that's when I saw about like the interaction, like the blue team, red team, and how I was managing a Linux machine for the team. So that interaction kind of interested in cybersecurity. So it's not like I went for a degree in cybersecurity and then I wasn't finding myself. When you go to school, you end up doing a lot of programs, projects, and learn different programming languages. So I was finding hard time where I find myself in those spaces because you jump from project to project. So I think doing that competition really helped me. So the reason why I picked cybersecurity, if you're asking me now, what I know now is it's evolving. I like the fact that there are different domains and how you can change gears and learn different aspects of cybersecurity because it's so broad. We always use the term, you know, cybersecurity as a field or 7 domains. So based on your interests, you can carve out your career path based on that. So, and also the breaches that you're hearing, right? So you want to be part of solving solving a problem that is always recurring and happening naturally. As a mother, I like to protect things, you know, as I do for my children. So it came naturally, I think, in that sense. But I like the fact we have to be always learner in that learning mode. And then I like the fact that it's always ever evolving. So I never get bored. I'm always learning. So that makes it exciting for me, at least. But at that point, I had no idea that there was a career in cybersecurity. Creating that exposure for people is very important, especially in school spaces. Maybe it's better now, but back then when I was going to school, I didn't hear of like a program. I would have chosen maybe that one.
So shout out to your professor as well for promoting cyber defense as well. Because it's funny, a lot of people, you mentioned being a mother has taken you down that path as well. It's funny how many people who are ex-military as well go into it. It's the same protective nature of that. I mean, it's almost like a job profile where you're expected to protect either the company, the people around you, your family. And in an online world where there's not much direction, when you drive on the road, there's a sign for, hey, slow down, speed limit and all that. There's nothing like this in the end. And it's only a cybersecurity professional or someone who's a bit more inclined towards technology and learning. Hey, what's the safest way to use this for my family? I'm so glad we have people like you in this field as well, because you kind of bring a legal background into this as well. So I'm keen to know, considering you came from a legal background, what was the biggest hurdle to overcome? I know you kind of went to university as well. So did you find there was a bit more of a steeper learning curve because coming from a legal?
Yeah, absolutely. Because initially when I started the program, when we moved here to Minnesota from Ethiopia, it was that winter time. And then now my son is 11 year old, but three. So, and I was also pregnant with my second one, my daughter. So around April time, and then I joined the fall classes. And then during that time, I was doing the math study, because in a law school, you don't have math classes that you're taking. So I had to recall a lot of the concepts from back in high school or something. So a lot of it was forgotten or not used at all. So you'd be staying with the baby, time to study. And then I took the placement test when I joined the community college, and then I passed everything. So I wasn't placed on any math or English classes. So I directly was put on a computer programming class. That was, to answer your question, the main challenge was like not having the background for a lot of the concepts that were discussed there. Number one, there aren't any females within classes. A lot of people that look like me. So it was kind of intimidating, people discussing about, I've done this project in high school, which I have no idea. They're talking about some of the programming concepts. They have already done it back in high school, which is in my head, because it's not something that even if I had the background, we wouldn't be talking about those things. Like number one, resource shortage, like back in Ethiopia. I remember that in high school, we had per week 1 hour computer classes where we are seated with three people because of IMZ, last spelling. So we end up having more students even sometimes. So we'd be fighting to get a chance to get a click on the computer. So it's crazy. Like we didn't have that resource university level. You get assigned textbooks, but you don't have the luxury of browsing internet and then getting more resources. So I always like to compare things there. You don't have the resources, you have the time, but here being a mom of four, and then you have all the resources, and then you struggle with finding the time to use all of the resources, right? So yeah, one of the struggle was not having the background. So a lot of learning curve, a lot of extra time studying the math concepts, because computer science means math, right? All of those things. But when those situations happen, I think you tend to study more. So I ended up getting A's in all of them, because that fear of, oh, I don't know, I have to study more, gets you to study more. So I think that helped me. And the other challenge I would say is you see a lot of people going into computer programming on all of those programs, right? So it's something that is internal voice within you that they have all of those people who's going to hire me. Like, is my skills going to be usable at the end of this? Like I had questions for a very long time. Like I was doing good. I even graduated with an award as a finalist for the President's Award for at the end of the program. I mean, you've been doing well during the time and studying. I think you had that societal things too, like a lot of the things, the degree that you brought from back home isn't usable thing. It always goes on in the community, even ourselves. That internal voice that the market is saturated. There are so many people who have good background. So how would my skills be? I had that. So I have to admit that I had those thoughts until I started getting internships and getting my first job, really. So those were some of the challenges that I like to bring up.
And I'm grateful that you shared this as well, because I think 50 odd people who are watching this at the moment, but I imagine a lot of them would know someone who would try once you get into computer science technology, one of the biggest hurdles, if you haven't started with a bachelor's in some kind of computer background, learning a completely new language and like understanding the grammar, the logic, and everything behind it. I can't even imagine how that would be. I'm glad you were kind enough to share the diversity, especially that imposter syndrome that you spoke about as well. Like, well, I'm from a legal background. I haven't done computer science properly, shared the computer with three people. And coming from that, now you're a cloud security associate engineer as well. Before this, you were an information security engineer. And I think that's also interesting, because do you find that the transition of doing your degree, did that help you get that internship, and that in turn helped you with that information security engineer? Or because I'm thinking for people who are maybe in the crowd as well, maybe from a legal background or from a non-computer science background, so they would obviously have the same hurdles as well. Do you recommend doing a degree as a first step to get into, I mean, computer science? Or
I mean, knowing what I know now, maybe not necessarily. I mean, you don't need a computer science degree to be in a cybersecurity, you know. But I mean, it helps to say that you have a computer science, but not necessarily needed to get into that. You could be doing an IT. There are different aspects of IT degrees too, like to get like the basic concepts of networking and hardware and software work and the different layers, application networking, all of those things, but not coding. You don't have to work.
So glad you mentioned this. I am so glad, because a lot of people think that you have to be a programmer to be able to join cybersecurity. I'm so glad you mentioned that you don't have to be a programming person. But would you agree you need the basic foundational thing, like networking that you mentioned earlier? Like there would be certain foundational pieces that need to understand to be able to work in this space, so, right?
Yeah, I mean, like education in any case would be important in terms of broadening your knowledge and how to solve problems. But I think depending on which route of career that you're going to pick, even in cybersecurity, different domains, I think that there are targeted certificates that you can pursue and then go from there without doing specific hardcore computer science programming. Sometimes some of the programmings that they teach are not even used in the real world. Like, I mean, that you can, if you know what programming language, you'll be able to understand how syntax and everything is structured, but you don't really need that. So having maybe certifications is something that I would recommend depending on that. And that's why as soon as I found out my interest in cybersecurity following that cyber defense competition that I did, a lot of Linux and all of those self-taught things that we did to prepare for that competition, is I started with network and then Security Plus and CYSA and all of those. And once you start, you just keep on going and you pick up a lot of things. You feel like maybe I'm missing this part of it. So it makes you want to go for more certifications and more knowledge seeking, I guess. So that's the best part of it, is like in cybersecurity, you want to keep on learning. You can't say that I have a degree, I'm done, then I just go on with my work and come back and be done. I mean, like, you need to upgrade yourself. You need to be listening to podcasts and webinars. I mean, those are some of the things that helped me in my career progression, even if it's not a long time ago, so, because I graduated with the degree in 2018 and then started my internship, because I was doing IT internships while I was in school in different departments at a local government. And then once I know my interest, I started looking for security related roles within that organization while I was interning. And again, through networking and having your interest be known to other people is so important. So that's what I did. Other interns knew about my interest, so they mentioned it to a supervisor, even if I wasn't there. And that supervisor emailed me, set up a meeting, and I was fortunate enough that he believed in my potential, that he went and introduced me to his boss, interned for 3 months within an internal audit, a cybersecurity assurance program that the practices of the IT practice of that organization, a local government. So a lot of it cybersecurity related, all of it. So I was able to get hired before graduation there. So that role helped me transition into an information security engineering role. So being able to do early, not exclusively one thing, pursuing the certifications while also finishing the program and finding that close to what you need role within wherever you are, is kind of what helped me speed up with the progression of my career.
That's pretty awesome. And so I would love to know about the interview side of things as well, because I just want to quickly acknowledge, because Vinny, and I think he's kind of like similar to yourself, he's gone through a journey of waiting patiently as well, as he would say it, because it's a patience game as well. I'm sure Vinny would agree that it's not about you apply for the first job and you get the first job as well. You kind of have to do your networking part as well. But to talk about from an interview perspective, for an associate cloud security engineer, people listening to this going, What are some of the skill sets? Like you mentioned, you don't really need to go for a programming language thing. What would be something they should kind of think of when preparing for an interview for a cloud security associate?
Yeah, so past experiences, right? A lot of the things that you do in your past roles, be it an IT auditing role in the past that I did, or information security engineering role, being able to translate that, the skills that you grasped from that and being able to translate to the job descriptions of that role. So a lot of it is like the past experiences, basic concepts in security, the CIA triad, how you would basic IAM things like privileged access management, those types of skills came in handy. And also, of course, basic cloud computing knowledge, because I was also preparing myself for that role. I did like an end of last year, an AWS practitioner certificate and also a CSA, CCSK to help me prepare myself. I wasn't ready. I didn't think that I would be getting into a cloud secure role at this moment, but I was preparing myself in a way at some point. I know that we're our biggest thing so far. So I was always telling not yet, but at some point. So I was just getting myself ready. So, and passion really is something that people would read from you when interviewing. Those are some of the things. And then the technical skills and all of those things are something that you would along the way and learn on the job, or some of the concepts that you're learning through your certifications or labs that you did with the free AWS accounts that I've did. I have done preparing for that talk back in the beginning of this year. It's all about relating your past experiences and letting know other people that you have a passion to work in that space, I think can speak volumes, and showing that your willingness to learn. I'm sure that I didn't answer all of the questions right to ask in the interview, but they see your passion and your willingness to learn, and that's when you get the opportunity to be given the chance, I guess, in those specific.
Interesting. And so you mentioned certification as well then. So from I'm assuming coming from a legal background and people listening to this, or maybe from a non-cybersecurity background, or non-computer science background, even that, would you say the Security Plus or the CCSK that you've done, jumping into that, was there any challenges in that, or was a degree kind of helped in excelling Security Plus and other certificates that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on from which background you're coming from. If I was coming directly from legal and if I was to pursue Security Plus, maybe I wouldn't know. But I think Security Plus is the basic starting point. I think I would recommend, although I started from network, but anybody could start from Security Plus as well. But getting there are different materials and resources out there to learn on your own pace to get to that level. But speaking from my experience, because I had that one class that I took in computer security, maybe that helped me a little bit, because like learning, you're forced to do all of the assignments and everything. Personally, I enjoy picking my own certifications and studying versus studying for a master's class or structured forced classes. So I think depending on from which study people are coming, I think the learning curve might be different, but I think it's doable, absolutely. Security, CYSA, depending on. So there are resources. So it depends on how much time you're willing to commit and your passion and your desire to be in that space. I think will determine that. So yeah, a lot of it is like self-study for me. So it's committing the time, and if I can do it, if I can do it. So that's all I'm going to say.
I was going to say the same thing. If you with a family of four young kids can do it, anyone can do it at that point. It's like, I don't think anyone would have an excuse at that point, but it's just about committing the time for it as well. So to your point, Security Plus is a great starting point to get the foundational pieces, and then you can try and go into specialization a bit more. And then that would also, I guess, to what you were saying earlier, that would show a couple of things. It would also show that you're passionate about the field, because you've kind of like come from a non-computer science background, taken a certification, which is completely computer science related, took that, and then you're using that as, I'm going to have an AWS certificate or an Azure certificate on top of that as well. So I guess, would that be a sign of showing that you're passionate and actually completing the certification, not just I've attended the classes for it, I guess. There's a subtle difference there. Would you say that would be, I guess, a good example of showing passion, that you're passionate about the field to the next?
Absolutely. I think so too. With the degrees, of course, HR might have their own. Do you have a degree? Especially for someone who's like an immigrant coming from another country. I needed that personally, like to get into a space that I want to be. But showing that specific certifications is going to show that you have the willingness to commit time and study. And it requires a lot of time commitment, especially outside of work and the kids. kids and everything, delivering that certificate. It's not only getting the certificates, but also being able to assist in the interview, because the paper is not only going to do the job, it's you and your skills are going to be going the work, doing the work. So you need to grasp the knowledge and do the proper course. I mean, self-learning or not, you're willing. So yeah, certifications, definitely that. It forces you to study, forces you to, and it gives you that moral of accomplishment to move forward. And it's not about being a good test taker. It's about being also learning new stuff. Whether you like it or not, you're going to learn new things. Well, for sure.
Awesome. I love that. And I think the next question that I get asked quite often, and I'm curious too, with the associate role, a lot of people have that question that, hey, I don't have an experience, so I can't answer those questions in an interview. What have you done for cloud? And like, how do you kind of go about answering those questions, where it's like, or is it the more focus on finding an associate role where the certification knowledge is helpful to get the job? Like, what's your advice over
specific interviews? You mean
cloud security engineer role? Yeah. But I think they feel like, oh, I don't have the experience for it, so I would not make it. Like, people would have self-doubt in it. So what would your advice for?
I have that self-doubt every time, like every coming to interview, going through all the phases of the interviews that I did. So this role, I'm starting next week. I didn't even apply for the role. The opportunity sort of came to me, which I had to interview 3-4 times, of course, as a phase of interview. But with each time, I was always saying to myself, like, this is something I want to do. I was preparing myself, but I tell myself I'm not, because I worked in other parts. Although I was doing I have AWS Cloud Practitioner Certificate. I had CCS this year. And also I was doing advanced training, which I got the GCLD on the Cloud Security Essentials. So some people are hard on themselves. Like, you have to be not perfect, but some of the things are that you need to learn and see after you had that opportunity in the actual work to see that I can do it. But I had that self-doubt myself. So I understand that. So if you're doing and if you've been prepared for that role, I mean, give yourself permission and say that I've done my part and now let's just give it a try. Nothing will be taken away from you from trying and failing. If it doesn't work, that means that it's going to be a lesson for next time. And then you see a lot of things. So I actually had an awesome mentor. Him, AJ, is my mentor. So when I told him, he said that you should do it. Even if you're not pursuing that role, I think it's a good way to, and a lot of things, like, or what are some of the things that you're missing in the industry, like tools, then through that interview process, you would be able to learn new things and prepare yourself for the next one. So yeah, I would say give yourself permission, and included my eyes also work.
Thanks for sharing the personal experience, and shout out to AJ as well. Another previous guest, he's pretty awesome as a friend as well. So we spoke about the technical skills and the experience part. Are there any soft skills that people should be, because you've done some work as an intern, are there any soft skills? Because I feel like universities and colleges don't really talk much about the soft skill part. It's mainly about do this degree, do that certification. What kind of soft skills do you think people should have, especially who are graduating now in a world a lot of us were in lockdown remotely? No idea what, I guess degrees would have been online as well. So what are some of the soft skills that can help them succeed in a role, even as a cloud security engineer, a cloud security associate engineer, or like an information security engineer as well, which was your previous role?
Yeah, I can speak from that perspective, I guess. And I would like to refer those skills as essential skills. Not so soft, important. So they're very essential skills. Like, number one being like communication, right? Being able to translate those technical stuff to a non-technical audience as a security resource. You are certainly a specific business that you're working for an organization. So you need to have a good communication skills. Being written or verbal are very important, I think, essential skills. And then being open-minded and have the patience, especially with my information security engineering role, we work specifically with developers and project managers, some of the projects that we work on. So having that positive relationship building skill is very important versus you work in silo. That's not how it works. So specifically because I get involved working with application security type of work with my previous role. So those, I think, are very important. Being able to problem solving, analytical skills, being able to be observant and being curious, analyzing your decision, asking questions, and being type of detail oriented, some of those skills can be transferred from other roles that you have. Security or not are very important, that can be transferable to a cybersecurity role. So when we're talking about detail oriented skills, like that could be applicable to when you're analyzing logs or dig deep into finding the root cause of a data breach, hack, or conducting digital forensics. All those spaces in security can benefit from being having that skill of being detail oriented or analytical thinking. Yeah, I would say those skills are very crucial as an essential.
100%. I think even the I can vouch for the translation one as well, because I feel like even no matter how many years you spend in cybersecurity, you're still translating cybersecurity to everyone. And as the simple example could be, you could be translating cybersecurity to your family on a personal security level as well. You can use that as an example, or anyone who's listening in can use that as an example in the interview if they want, for how do you translate security? How do you explain to your parents how they should use Facebook or not use Facebook, I guess? That's another lesson in online security. I think it's funny when you just shared.
Absolutely. I mean, even the kids being gaming all the time and getting exposed, that's what I was, that's like a second book thing that's in the works, is like how kids online, this world where they do everything, like their education and gaming online. Like, it seems like the digital world and the physical is very important, and it's going to continue to be.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I just want to quickly tap Vinita over here as well, because he's sort of talking his experience about first playthrough is always challenging. Many times it depends on the person to take a chance. Actually, that's so true as well. Kind of like what you mentioned with your experience, someone took a chance on you and said, Naz, I think Ziad is the person, introduced you to their boss as well. Absolutely. That's where the patience game is.
Absolutely. Yep. That's what it is. I'm always grateful to that leader, people seeing other people's potential and appreciating that and believing in you to give you that chance. So yeah, I agree with you.
Awesome. And I think it takes me to the SANS conversation as well here, because you kind of did a course for Cloud Security Essential, but then you spoke at SANS as well, SANS Summit. So that another skill, I imagine people should definitely go have like presentation skills. So kudos to you for doing that. Could you tell us a bit about the talk? Because that was before you got the Cloud Security Associate Engineer role as well. And yeah, I mean, I can talk about imposter syndrome over there, like not even in the field, but talking about. So if you can probably talk us about a bit about your motivation as to why that topic and why AWS, and any thoughts that you can share. And I'll probably include the link to the talk as well in the show notes for people who may be listening to this later on. What was the inspiration?
Yeah, so that was back in June. The inspiration behind it is simple. It's I had public speaking challenges, like I wanted to work on that. So I told my mentor, AJ, that I want to work on those things. And the one thing that he said that resonated with me is the only way to work with your public speaking fear is to do public speaking. So I took that advice, soliciting for people to submit for a call for paper at that time. So I just became bold and just said, I'm going to do a talk, and then submitted a call for paper. That got us. So I picked AWS Concepts because that's what I was preparing myself to. So I thought that would be a good learning opportunity for me here. You learn it better when you're trying to teach other people. So I picked the AWS because it's easier to learn, and probably the other clouds also have their free tiers and everything. But it just came in handy for me, like with the wide adoption and being in the market. So easily picked AWS. And then, so the main motivation is to myself to be able to sit in front of a computer and do a live demo. Betting on myself to work on that. So I didn't expect a 1.7K people to attend that live, but it was really well received because I tried to teach myself doing free labs and everything to prepare for that 30-minute talk. I had a really good feedback afterwards. So that went really well. So the motivation is to work through my public speaking peers. Absolutely.
You definitely did well, because even though I couldn't attend because of the time zone, but I still heard a lot about, you should hear Zena's talk. Who like, what? Is this the same Zena? They're like, yeah, she's done a SANS security talk. I'm like, wow, there you go. So you did a great job, by the way. Would you say that the essential skills that you were talking about earlier about attention to detail and being translation, presentation skill be important as well? Because I feel like a lot of people would think a lot of people may have a lot of certifications already. How do you stand out in that space? This could be looking, I mean, and it's not standing out in the context of, hey, look how amazing I am. It's more in the context of, hey, I just want to be more visible, so I increase my probability of getting a job. Presentation skills are important there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so too, because I think you'll be building your personal brand, would be making yourself available, like, to the community. It's a way of, you know, giving back and also building your own skills, because more or less you, with any role, you'll be presenting to leaders. So that skill remains very important in any type of roles that you're going to assume. And those terms are very controversial, but it's going to be very important, essential stuff.
Cool. Awesome. I've got one more question kind of to bring this home then. So for people who may, I guess, who have listened to the whole thing and are still a bit confused, but maybe a bit lost in where to start, for someone applying for a junior role, transitioning into an information security, a kind of a role, like an associate role, what would you recommend them based on your experience so far? Now, if you could go back to and speak to Zenith again, when she came to Minnesota, how would you, I guess, what would your advice be to her for, I guess, getting into that cloud security associate kind of a space?
So if they want only in cloud security, I would say study and start with AWS Cloud Practitioner, study cloud. But there's a website that I like usually for people who ask me, like, yeah, I want to start with cybersecurity. What do I do? I always say cybersecurity is so broad, different domains, about 8 or 7. So find your area of interest. And I like this website, again, shared by that professor back in 2017, and I still recall it, cyberseek.org. So depending on which role you're in, how do you transition? Like, it's an interactive type of site where you can go from beginners to intermediate and advanced type of roles. So I always suggest that site, like, see where you are and find your area of interest. And then depending on that, your area of interest, like, find learning resources. But to your question, if it's going to be just like what I did, I started with AWS Cloud Practitioner. I studied that, got certified. I was going to go the route of moving to Cloud Solutions Architect, which is a good route again. But I stopped that one and I wanted to do a general cloud security. So that's why I did CCS, which is more dealing with cloud security knowledge from CSA. And then after doing that, I got the opportunity to do the SANS cloud service providers, which is a really good SANS course. So that's the route that I would, depending on which, because the resources are there. It's about if you're interested in that and the market is there. I mean, jobs are out there. But once you are, you won't have the problem of finding it resonates and works. Finding your interest is very important because it may not be for everybody. So find, know that if you're passionate about it and if you like it, there are resources out there. So just commitment, preparing yourself, and then.
You're actually so right in there, because that remind me of a personal story. Because when I started in cybersecurity, pen testing or hacking was like the number one thing, right? Every person wanted to be a hacker. And I kind of went down that path as well. And the first month, I remember hating, going, I cannot believe I have to go through a manual. And I tell the story quite often because I don't think people talk enough about other fields in cybersecurity. Like, if you watch movies, no one's talking about, hey, look at the cloud security engineer. Yeah, yeah. Like, back, wear the hoodie. Like, no one's talking about like a cyber person being someone who's just like this normal person who just happens to be a blue team person, right? No one talks about that person, but they talk about like this hacker, male, female, whatever. They're all hackers. They're all this like super amazing computer, just like geeking away. And you're going, there's more to that than cyber security. But I'm so glad you mentioned that as well. But for me, I personally felt it's a long game. It's a marathon. So if you find something you enjoy, definitely focus on that in that field. But in saying that, you and I can answer that easily, because I feel like we have found that, hey, maybe this is my current favorite place in cybersecurity. But for people who are looking, I would say keep exploring, keep an open mind. On that note, I think that's a technical question that I had, I think just part of the interview. But I would love for people to know a bit more about you as well. So I've got the fun section as well, which I'm sure you've heard so often as well. But I've never asked you, so this is a perfect opportunity that I've never asked you before. So now I can ask you, what do you spend most time on when you're not working on cloud or technology?
I'm not writing a children's book.
Or when you write, that's right, yes.
That's a recent thing. I wrote this like 2 months or 3 months ago. It started in March, and then that's when it was done. But yeah, spending time. I don't think I ever have a free time. It's always the kids. I mean, I have 4 kids between 11-year-old and 21-month-old toddlers. So yeah, I got my hands full. So it's always about either I'm braiding their hair or taking them to the park. So it's right now, but hopefully I'll find something to do.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. And I think you'll find that maybe once kids reach that teenage years, maybe that'll be a bit more easier as well. Next question, what is something that you're proud of but is not on your social
media? I mean, in this world and age, I'm not on social media.
But But I thought the whole legal to cybersecurity thing was not on social media. I could not find it until I spoke to you.
Like a lot of the things, like I mentioned earlier, cyber thing, like anything that you do overseas isn't valuable. So until recently, I wasn't talking about it. So yeah, I had a law degree. I was working in as a legal advisor for a government agency back home before I moved here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that can be one of it. But yeah, a lot of the things are, I like doing crafts when I had time back when I was in Ethiopia. If school is closed, I'm always sewing and doing stuff for house decoration. I don't think that's on the internet. So that's one thing that, like, when you talk about that, I just recalled. So,
oh, wait. Yeah. So do you knit outfits for your kid?
Because I told you there's no time. But when I was home, I used the Singer machine to crafting, and then also handmade things that you put in on the wall. I used to do that a lot. Like, I've been doing that since I was a fifth grader or so. So wait. If I had time, yeah, very young, even I was told that to be using that machine, but because I love doing that, I used to do it in my summer. People are playing, crafting and doing and creating stuff, designing, sewing machine, but you'll be doing something that is like a pillowcase or something that you hang on.
I'm glad you mentioned the brand name as well. I don't think I've heard of the Singer brand for such a long time, because my mom used to have the same thing. Well, I guess every household in India had the same thing as well. It was like this big machine thing. It had a wooden case on it as well, at least the one that my mom got.
And then you roll it and you have to use your hand. And then when I'm walking, I feel the floor is moving.
Yeah, I feel it's funny. It has so much memories attached to it. So I'm glad you kind of bought the name. I'm going to remind my mom about it now when I call her next, because I don't think that brand exists anymore. But that was because I remember this, because I got the same advice as you, that you're too young to use it because of that needle that you just pop in, pop out. I think someone in my neighborhood had their kid who basically put his finger through. Anyways, it's a disgusting story. I'm going to stop myself there, but I'm glad you shared that with us. So last question, what's your favorite cuisine or restaurant?
Yeah, so it has to be Ethiopian because they're all spicy. Injera bread and then the doro wat, which is called that's maybe kind of roll butter and the spiciness, but I like Ethiopian dishes, even though we had them more often there.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I think we have a huge Ethiopian population here in Melbourne as well. Ethiopian and Somalian population. So when you guys come over to Australia, I would love to take you to one of the Ethiopian places as well. But it is different. It's because we have it in a whole big plate as well. All of us share a big plate. So if you go as a group, everyone's eating off the same plate. And this is massive injera bread. And that's all the food is on the corners of it and just bite through it. But it reminds me of the Middle East as well. But yes, that's right. Which is normal to use your hands. I don't know why people use fork and knives. But it's a massive immersive experience as well. Oh, actually, we have Vinita as well, who the Singer brand. There you go. It's everyone knows Singer brand. I'm going to Google after this as to what happened to Singer. I'm so glad you've shared all of that and your knowledge as well. I'm sure a lot of people would have a lot of questions. I'll definitely encourage them to connect with you. Wait, I want to take a moment to talk about your book. So if you can, I know it's the Amazon number one seller in diversity section as well. Oh, you have it with you as well. Amazing.
Yes, I do. I still have a copy here. Yeah.
Perfect. Can you tell us a bit about what's the inspiration behind that? I know you touched on this in the beginning of the call, but I'm curious because you're already doing your degree. You're already doing so much. And four kids as well. But what compelled you to kind of go down the book?
Yeah, so all inspired by my daughters. I have two daughters and two boys. So inspired by some of the conversations and questions that they bring from school, like wearing the hijab, the headscarf that I'm wearing. It's related to that. So it's a story about to empower and uplift young girls who choose to wear a hijab. And in the story, there are within the school setting who had questions about why is she wearing the hijab? Is it because her hair is bald or is it because her hair is dirty? Some of the questions even grown-ups might have, but in a way to empower girls. So the family strength and conversations within the book, because people have exactly. So how does she find the courage to explain I'm wearing this as part of my faith, and helps people to appreciate diversity and inclusion, and while embedding appreciation for other people's culture too. So it's a multicultural color pictured book. So it's interesting. I mean, it's really doing well. It was number one bestseller on Amazon, but I just recently released that, so it's also available on Barnes & Noble. So it takes a lot of things, and I'm already building also not a cybersecurity community, but also an authors community on the side. So it's been an interesting journey to do this in the pandemic, dealing with full-time job, grad school, and also helping the kids doing distance learning in three different classes. Plaza Baby, this is something that we've done together as a project, the kids were involved pretty much. Like, they were like, when is the illustration going to be done? Like, I learned the whole process of self-publishing on Clubhouse, just joining rooms while cooking or braiding the girl's hair, that type of thing. So it's a big satisfaction to it. It's something that you have control of because yourself. And then it's different places as well. So now I'm getting it into the kids' school. People are inviting me to, I don't know, the story is compelling enough and it's teaching to appreciate all these things. I'm pretty happy about that, like going to libraries and kids to school as well. So yeah, and also working on a second book. So
like, how much time do you have? You say at what you one sentence like you don't have much time. Like, I'm just writing my second book now. Like, you clearly are so passionate about this.
Once you start doing one, and then it just, the idea just keeps, I mean, you never run out of inspiration when you're having four kids. They would say something and then, oh, maybe that could be a book. It's all someone else's problem. The book that you write is not for you, it's for someone else to solve a certain problem, be it a children's or a grown-up's book. That's something that I'm learning. So the second one might be, even if it's a children's book, it's meant to combine something, cybersecurity and a children's book, so it's going to be interesting.
I would definitely be tuning in, because I've been recommending the book to a lot of people as well. I think it's a great conversation, and it also, it's a great conversation starter, but at the same time, it's a good education piece as well for a lot of people. For people who may not have grown up in a multi-faith kind of environment, it's kind of like voodoo magic or whatever, I guess. Like, I don't know what this is, but I'm scared of it, but I want to learn about it as well. I would definitely encourage them to check them out. Put a link to the Amazon version there so people can check them out. So if you're going to write one more cybersecurity book, I'll definitely love to do like a kind of like a book club thing with you or whatever, because we were doing the book club thing. So I'll definitely have like that version as well. I was going to say, where can people find you on social media to connect with you, probably learn even about not just being a cloud security associate engineer, but also being an author? So where can they connect with you and where can they find you?
Yeah, I love LinkedIn for networking, and a lot of the tribe that I found is on LinkedIn. Even my mentor, that's how I find out about a lot of the events going on, like webinars and that type of thing. So I like LinkedIn, but Instagram, Twitter, I'm on all of them. So even Facebook. So yeah, connect with me and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have and learn from you as well, because I'm always in the learning mode.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you hanging out with us, because I think I enjoyed our conversation, especially about the soft skills part, which are not spoken about enough. So I'm glad you kind of touched that as well. And for everyone else who's coming in, I think I'll see you all in the next episode. But again, thanks so much. I am looking forward to having you soon, maybe talking about the book or maybe another cloud security.
Absolutely. Since I'm going to that role, maybe I'll be able to talk more about the challenges and the nitty gritty of all cloud security stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
No problem. All right. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you all next weekend. Thank you for listening to that episode of Cloud Security Podcast. If you found some new information from that episode, we would appreciate if you share it with others. Share it with us as well if you have any good feedback or good learnings from the episode. We are on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you don't find us there, you can always go on our website, www.cloudsecuritypodcast.tv, to listen to the latest episode. We appreciate your support in helping us grow. It helps us bring more guests. It helps us support the channel. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, and talk to you on the next episode.